reading from the book of the prophet Nahum. See, upon the mountains there advances the bearer of good news, announcing peace. Celebrate your feast, O Judah. Fulfill your vows. For nevermore shall you be invaded by the scoundrel. He is completely destroyed. The Lord will restore the vine of Jacob, the pride of Israel. Though ravagers have ravaged them and ruined the tendrils. Woe to the bloody city, all lies, full of plunder, whose looting never stops. The crack of the whip, the rumbling sounds of wheels, horses a gallop, chariots bounding, cavalry charging, the flame of the sword, the flash of the spear, the many slain, the heaping corpses, the endless bodies to stumble upon. I will cast filth upon you, disgrace you, and put you to shame, till everyone who sees you runs from you, saying, Nineveh is destroyed. Who can pity her? Where can one find any to console her? Verbum Domini. It is I who deal death and give life. Close at hand is the day of their disaster, and their doom is rushing upon them. Surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity. Learn then that I alone am God. And there is no God besides me. It is I who bring both death and life, I who inflict wounds and heal them. I will sharpen my flashing sword, and my hand shall lay hold of my quiver. With vengeance I will repay my foes and requite those who hate me.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? for the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there is some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Verbum Domini.
It was in 1917 that a 25-year-old girl was visiting Frankfurt, Germany. And as a teenager, she had decided to be an atheist, to consciously decide not to pray, to follow the devotion of a devout Jewish mother. Her father had passed away when she was just 2 years old. And so she's now 25. With a friend, they are visiting Frankfurt, and they enter the Frankfurt Cathedral as tourists, and they're admiring the architecture, when something happened that changed her perspective. The girl's name, Edith Stein. And here's what she wrote of that event. She sees this woman with a shopping basket going to kneel in the cathedral for a brief prayer. There was no one else really in the cathedral. This was something totally new to me. In the synagogues and Protestant churches I had visited, people simply went to the services. Here, however, I saw someone coming straight from the busy marketplace into this empty church, as if she was going to have an intimate conversation. It was something I never forgot. And so it was just the devotion of this lady, and it was quite obvious that she was going with this expectation. She was coming to pray, to have an intimate conversation with the Lord. Two more events impacted her as well before she would eventually embrace the Catholic faith. When she was 26, she had become friends of this couple, and the husband had died in the war in Flanders. And so she went to visit his widow. And she was struck by the divine power in this widow, her faith. She wrote, "This was my first encounter with the cross and the divine power it imparts to those who bear it. It was a moment when my unbelief collapsed and Christ began to shine his light on me, Christ in the mystery of the cross." I couldn't help but think in reading these words of Edith Stein, later St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, of the words of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he speaks of the fact that we have earthen vessels and we're afflicted, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we don't go to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, carrying in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested, might be revealed. And that's what Edith experienced when she sees this young widow who had just lost her husband, and yet her faith in that, there was something of the power, the divine power, that radiated from her faith in that moment of the cross. And Edith is feeling this unbelief just melting away in the face of the mystery of the cross. And this beautiful words that she had to say as well, before I get to the final clincher, if you will, that led her to embrace the faith and eventually become a Carmelite nun. And I think these are words really for all of us. Listen to what Edith wrote. Things were, as she looks back on her own life, and she's looking back at all the steps, and you know, it's quite interesting, actually. So many of the events of her life, including her birth, were connected with the feast days of the Jewish people from which she came, including her birth. She was born in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And she herself would become this Holocaust. She would offer herself as a Holocaust for her people. But she sees that God's plan is evident as she looks back in her life and all the steps that led her to eventually to Carmel, to embrace the Carmelite life. Things were in God's plan, which I had not planned at all. I'm coming to the living faith and conviction that, from God's point of view, there is no chance, and that the whole of my life, down to every detail, has been mapped out in God's divine providence and makes complete and perfect sense in God's all-seeing eyes. Yes, God is provident. He's not ignorant of what we're going through or what's going on in our life. In fact, he's showing his care in every event. He's leading us. And I think as we get older, as I myself am now getting older too, I look back and I see, oh yes, even this disappointment or this heartache in my life, that God was directing me in a particular way. And that's true for all of us, that we really can trust in his divine providence. So what was the clincher that led her eventually, as she's pondering these things, that these events are happening to her, and she's wrestling with her own brilliant mind that she had? She got her doctorate summa cum laude, with the highest distinction. It was in the summer of 1921. She's 29 years old, and she's visiting some friends outside of Freiburg. And she goes to their library. She's looking for something to read to pass the time, and she comes across the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila. She was so taken with this that she read the whole night through. She read the whole book in one sitting, one night. And when she had finished it, she wrote, "I said to myself, this is the truth." And really, she saw that her thirst for truth, her desire for truth, was a single prayer in her life. You know, that all of us are obliged, really, to seek the truth and to live in accordance with the truth. That's within us, that we want the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? And we want to conform our lives in accord with the truth. This was Edith's deep thirst. And then when she came to understand it, and that God revealed things, you know, as in different events in her life, and she had these experiences, that she began to see it, and she embraced it wholeheartedly with this courage of a martyr to lay down her life for her very people. And so it was at the age of 30, January 1st, 1922, that she was baptized, and shortly after that, she was confirmed. And she came to understand, she said, as she had tried with her own intellectual abilities to lead someone else to the Christian faith, "Every time I feel my powerlessness and inability to influence people directly, I became more keenly aware on the necessity of my own Holocaust, that with Christ to offer my own sacrifice, my own sufferings." That's really what happens at every Mass, at the offertory. We are uniting our sacrifices, our sufferings, to Christ's perfect offering, and we're sharing in his work of redemption, not apart from him, not in competition with him, but with him. And so that's why Jesus would say, if you're going to be my disciple, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's with him. We're following him on his way of the cross. And that there is a meaning to sacrifice. Love is proven in sacrifice. There is a meaning to the sufferings that now we can unite with Christ and share in his work of redemption. Human activities, she wrote, cannot help us. This was when she could see the tensions rising in Germany with the growth of Nazism and the persecution of her own people. She said, human activities cannot help us, but only the suffering of Christ. It is my desire to share in it. And so at the age of 42 in 1933, she enters the Carmel in Cologne, Germany. And because the tensions were rising, her superiors transferred to ECT in the Netherlands. But eventually, the Gestapo went there as well and took her and her sister Rosa, who also converted to Catholicism, to Auschwitz, where they were martyred on this day, August 9th, in, I believe, 1942. Some people have commented, including Father Fred Miller of Happy Memory, when he preached here on this feast day years ago, her name that she was given when she was invested in the holy habit of the Carmelites, Sister Teresia Benedicta Acruce, that they interpreted this as Saint Teresa blessed by the cross, blessed by the cross, that we really are blessed by the cross. You know, recently a dear couple from Ohio sent me something that's really a treasure. Really been enjoying it. You know, we just had the 10th Eucharistic National Eucharistic Congress, and this couple from Ohio sent me the whole textbook from the 7th Eucharistic Congress in 1935 in Cleveland, Ohio. There have been 10 total National Eucharistic Congresses in the United States, and 2 international ones in the United States. In 1926 in Chicago was an international one. 1976 in Philadelphia was an international one. But it's really interesting here, there were 500,000 people that attended this one. We had 60,000 in Indianapolis. And so it's really quite interesting. They have a photo history in here, in the last section of it. But Father Matthew discovered that Monsignor Fulton Sheen delivered an address there. He was a professor at Catholic University of America at the time. And so they have the text of his talk. And here I will read some of the things that he said in his address at the 7th Eucharistic Congress in Cleveland, Ohio, 1935. He said, and why is each man precious? Because God loves him and loves him so much that he paid an infinite price for man. Namely, the blood of the Lamb slain from the beginning of the world. A man is worth something because God nourishes us as a mother nourishes her babe with his own everlasting life. The Eucharist is the answer to the question of the value of man. Give them divine life, for their souls have need of life as well as their bodies. Tell them they are not mere men, but children of God. Infuse their peasant blood with the blood of royalty. Rejuvenate their hungry bodies with the meat, capital M, which nourishes unto life everlasting. lift them up from the slavery of serfdom of the world to the aristocracy of the family of the Trinity. Let each soul stand naked face to face with God in a private audience with divinity. That's receiving the Eucharist. Face to face with God in a private audience with divinity, where spirit meets spirit, so that each may rise from the tryst as a new creature, conscious that he must be worth something, since God loves him so. Yes, we are all blessed by the cross. And at every Mass, the cross and all that he accomplished is represented, and all of that is communicated to us as we unite our own sufferings and sacrifices, as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross did, that we share in his work of redemption. Finally, I can just conclude with, when she was beatified, the words that Pope John Paul II said of her, and he also made her the co-patroness of Europe. He said that she was a daughter of Israel who remained faithful to the crucified Lord Jesus Christ, and as a Jew, to her people in loving faithfulness.